Hi, podcasters. This is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials, and I'm here today with our editor-in-chief, Lisa Henderson. For this edition of the ACT podcast, we are speaking with Jennifer Duff, General Manager, Zelta Clinical Trial Solutions at Merativ, which is formerly IBM Watson Health.
So Jennifer has over 24 years of experience in the life sciences industry with specialization in enabling and scaling technology solutions for pharma, medical device, and biotech clients. And she started her current role with Merativ in July 2022, where she is responsible for shaping clinical development strategy and leading the growth of the business. Jennifer also has spent time with Accenture and Wyeth Pharmaceuticals. So thank you for joining us today, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. The first question I want to get into is, what got you interested in clinical trials and research?
I actually started my career not in clinical trials at all, but in the sciences, and ended up coming into Wyeth as a consulting resource in the beginning, supporting training development, and onboarded with Wyeth, and really was coming at it from more of the technology side and the consulting and the support resources, and ended up in clinical data management and found out I just really liked it. It fit well with my experience. I really enjoyed the opportunity to be part of helping bring therapies and treatments to market and really understanding both the research side of it, which was fun given my science background, but also working with the clinicians and the teams to really think through how best to make things happen, and just really enjoyed it. So the background was sort of a winding way to get there initially in my career, but have really enjoyed my time in the industry.
So with your company, there have been a number of name changes and product mergers. So from along the IBM Watson Health to Merativ, and Merativ Clinical Development to Zelta Clinical Trial Solutions. So could you unpack that for us?
Happy to. It can be a little confusing. And this is a question I get frequently now. So Merativ is a standalone company from IBM beginning in 2022. And as part of Merativ, Zelta is one of the six core business units. Now we rebranded Zelta in February of this year because this is a product that has over 10 years in the industry and it's changed names a couple times. And coming out of IBM and becoming part of Merativ and one of the business units, we felt it was really important to be able to identify the business, to build and invest in the brand equity. And so therefore, the decision was to invest in the rebranding of the business unit. So Zelta is one of the six core business units, as I said, but we are focused on the clinical trial solutions aspect of Merativ's portfolio. All of our team members are Merativ employees, and our platform and services offerings are part of the broader Merativ portfolio of offerings. One of the differences with us is we're very focused, as you mentioned originally, in the life sciences industry. So we're working with sponsors, we're working with companies who operate on behalf of those sponsors, so the CROs. We're also supporting academic research, as well as patient registries and other continuing type of research of that nature. And so it's really great to be under Merativ. It's a great opportunity for us. I've really enjoyed that transition. And I think it fits well with my background and what we want to do as a team. We're finding a lot of opportunity as we expand and grow Zelta within the Merativ portfolio.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Can you describe your leadership philosophy to our audience?
Sure. For me, I come from a family of entrepreneurs. And so for me, I feel very strongly that as a leader, I want to make sure that I'm really doing what's right for my business and that I'm really thinking about the business in the spirit of being entrepreneurial and really having that opportunity to lead and grow Zelta in particular down some interesting pathways. We have an interesting strategy we're executing on. And in that strategy, you know, I believe very strongly in this idea of most of my career, I've spent being a little bit comfortable with the uncomfortable. I've spent a lot of time challenging myself or being challenged by the teams I work with and the opportunities that I've taken on. And so that philosophy of you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable is part of how I look at leading and how I look at the work we're doing within Zelta. We have aspirations to really challenge some of the status quo and do things a little differently. And to me, I think that fits very nicely with my leadership style. That's a lot of my career as I look back. And I think there's some great opportunities for us to really do some interesting things in the market under that philosophy of really being comfortable with challenging things, being uncomfortable, being sort of pushing the boundaries a little bit, and being very entrepreneurial and very thoughtful about what we're doing and why we're doing it.
So what are some of those status quo challenges that your strategy is addressing?
So this is an industry that has been around a very, very long time. And I've spent most of my career watching technology be adopted into the industry. The first studies that I worked on when I started were still running paper. And so I think that as we think about the status quo within the industry, it really is how do we overcome the challenges of the regulatory requirements that we have while doing it and enabling and using technology in new and innovative ways. And so from a status quo perspective, I look at this as much of the industry, at least from my view of how I've seen the industry grow and evolve and develop with technology, it's a little bit of, I call it Frankensteining things together, maybe, where you're not necessarily having a chance to step back and rethink technology design and doing it in sort of an intelligent design approach. This is a lot of legacy tech, and you're sort of pivoting and moving and adding new tech to it. So as we think about challenging the status quo, as an organization, we really try and question, you know, can we do this in a different way? Are we letting process determine the flow and implementation of technology, for example? Can the technology be used as a better enabler? And really looking at this with that lens of intelligent design.
Excellent. So, you know, as you mentioned, there's a lot of technology changes that have occurred over the past. So what are some of the major ones currently impacting clinical trials professionals today? And then how do you think it'll change some of the roles in the future?
There's been a lot of discussion in the industry about pivot to the patient and this idea that technology will allow us to get closer to patients, closer to clinicians, closer to the source of direct patient care. And I think that's true. And I think COVID certainly shone a spotlight upon the need for technology to be more flexible and dynamic in this space and the ability to interface with patients and clinicians without requiring brick and mortar site visits, for example, which is a lot of how the industry operated, particularly prior to COVID. So if you think about how technology has fundamentally changed our day-to-day lives, I think the biggest challenge we have is sort of that dichotomy between technology in your everyday life and how you operate and live each day, doing your banking and your own healthcare and communicating with each other and just simple things like how you reach out and coordinate where you're going to be at any given time. That experience is very different when you apply it within clinical trials. And so I think that's part of the big challenge we have is how do we reduce that disparity between what a person experiences today. Most people experience today with smartphones and cellular and the ability to be connected much more easily and do things much more simply via technology as an enabler versus what their experience is like within clinical trials, whether it's the clinicians who have to execute it, the patients who are participating, or even the individuals who are trying to make those studies happen. So they're behind the scenes trying to build them and coordinate them and gather all the data and the information, make sure that all of this flows properly. So I think that that is one of the biggest challenges. It isn't a particular, in my opinion, it's not a particular piece of technology. It's the challenge. It's the how do we bring together that experience, that everyday experience using technology in the space of clinical trials, both from the participant perspective, but also the users, meaning those within the sponsors and the CROs and everybody who's trying to get these trials through the system and trying to get that data out for usage and submission for regulatory purposes. So I do think that's our biggest challenge is how do we address that gap? Because there is a gap and it's been there for a while. And if you look at your day-to-day life now versus a trial, it can be quite different of an experience. The other part of the question you had asked was around changing of roles in the future. And from that perspective, there's been a lot of talk recently, particularly in the data management space around pivoting to data science. And I personally think that's a great way of thinking about this, is that because of the role of technology in clinical trials and in our day-to-day lives, but how that carries through into clinical trials, it's really important that both the clinical side of the process and the technology and the data side of the process strive to really, really come together in effective ways and bring that intelligent design from the beginning of trials. And so from that perspective, I do think roles are pivoting more towards most roles in the process require some level of technology understanding and certainly some level of data understanding and data architecture. And so we are seeing roles pivot and move over time as they come together. And I do think that that requires rethinking as we get outside of sort of core clinical roles, how important do you let the decisions around technology and data either drive and or influence the design of the studies themselves? Because we've seen, for example, the more companies bring that data conversation and that technology conversation forward as they're thinking about clinical research, the sooner they start to apply that thinking into their actual trial design, the more value they see out of it. And so roles need to be much more integrated, and there needs to be that pivot as we move towards bringing data thinking and that intelligent design upfront into the process. And so the roles are moving around in line with that. And that's a good thing. It's a challenge, but it's a good thing as we go through and evolve the clinical trial execution.
Now with DIA coming upon us on the calendar, what are your plans for Zelta at DIA?
Yeah, we look forward to DIA. Conferences are an important channel for our business in particular. It's where we interact with a broad set of our customers all at once. We get to meet with a variety of people in one forum. We get to talk to people face-to-face who may have heard about Zelta or they're there with colleagues and they want to learn more about Zelta, and they get to just sort of swing by and talk to us, expand their understanding of who we are. So we see it both as an opportunity to be seen in the market, but also to interface with our customers and other potential customers. We also think it's a great way for us to expand our understanding of activities in the market. And one of the beautiful things about DIA is it covers such a broad set of challenges within the marketplace with all the different tracks and different types of organizations that are there. You get to see a lot of broad information that you might otherwise have a hard time acquiring. And so from our perspective, it's really a great opportunity to expand and understand activity in the market, hear about it, learn from each other, really, really bring that back. So we focus on showing up. We want to be there. We want to be there and interface with people. We want to have meaningful conversations. And then we want to learn, and we want to bring those learnings back into our strategies and take them home and make sure that we are working on a living and breathing strategy that we believe will bolster our business, but also drive the change in the market that we're hoping to see over the coming years.
So Jennifer, you were talking about obviously being at DIA and, you know, your plans. How at Zelta will you identify or stand out among the many other technology vendors that are there and so much different types of technology? How do you get people's attention as they're walking by? How do you distinguish yourself from the others?
Yeah, that's a really great point. If you ask those who saw us at Scope, we use puppies. I'm just kidding. We won't have puppies at DIA.
Wait, did you have puppies at Scope? Because we were.
Yes, we did.
You're the ones with the puppies. Oh my gosh. I remember that.
But when you launch a new brand, you've got to make a splash.
We love the puppies. Remember the puppies, Andy?
I do. Clear as day.
See, everybody remembers. But we won't have puppies at DIA.
Okay.
No, it is a great question, though, because, you know, this is a hard one, right? Because when you talk to companies and in marketing, it's easy to say you do or say you have something. And in our case, we want to make sure we avoid that, right? We try not to market what we aren't. We try to market exactly who we are. And, you know, I look at technology today and I find there's a lot of, I sometimes call it duct tape and, you know, backsides and seats solutions. And that translates sometimes into technology not being able to scale or enable within the difficulties within clinical research. And so while we're at DIA, while we're at conferences, we spend a lot of time reinforcing, you know, our philosophy, our strategy, what we're trying to do. And in our marketing, we're pivoting to make sure that we have very strong and clear messages about who we are and who we aren't. And we're also developing strong partnerships with other technology providers who are complementary to us. And we're doing that very strategically because we understand that there is no one technology solution to everything. And we're not going to come in and say we can do everything. And so we use DIA as a way, in conferences like DIA, as a way to highlight those partnerships, as a way to really focus on what we do really well. We also have customers who speak for us. So at every conference we've done thus far this year, we have customers presenting with us because that customer experience is very important to us. These are the people who at the end of the day, you've either supported or you haven't. And so for us, it's very important that those customers speak well of us, that they have a really great experience, and that they actually see differentiated outcomes. And so we try and highlight stuff like that in our presentations and try and have very tangible, real outcomes-based discussions that say, yes, when we say we can do it, here's the proof that we've done it. And that's sometimes hard to do in a conference, but we've had good success using our voice and the voice of our customers and our partners to really drive home that point. And I think it makes a big difference because technology is difficult and enabling and scaling is sometimes that hardest last piece. And it's good to know you have partners that we're successful. And so that's what we focus on.
Excellent. Well, we will be there, Jennifer. So we'll see you there. And thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate you inviting me to be here.
Yes. Thank you, Jennifer.